Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Now, you're very welcome back to the show. So already this evening, we have heard from Sam Lee of The Athletic about Manchester City. We just heard from Gabriella Mercotti there before news headlines. Dominic Fifield of The Athletic will join us to give us a sense of the London clubs involved in all of this. Philippe Auclair will be with us as well. He was on with us yesterday and said there was no chance that this Super League would ever get off the ground. And so it has proven. Man City officially out of the European Super League. Chelsea preparing to do so. There were 1,000 protesters at Stamford Bridge this evening. They're obviously playing a match, so they haven't officially done it just yet. Atletico have withdrawn. There's a meeting of the 12 Super League clubs over Zoom, virtual meeting in about 90 minutes time. And of course, the other news, Ed Woodward has resigned as chairman of Manchester United. Kenny Dalglish has just tweeted in the last 15 minutes or so that Liverpool, he hopes, will do the right thing. There are reports that Andrea Agnelli has departed at Juventus. Juventus have denied those reports. His family have owned a stake at the club since the 1920s, so I suspect he won't be pushed. He may, however, say to hell with all of this. We don't know. Very happy to say Andy Mitten, editor of United We Stand, has made time for us. Hi, Andy.
How you doing?
You were on with the lads this morning. Didn't anticipate having you back.
No, I didn't anticipate what would happen today. I think this morning there was some talk quickly dismissed that there was some disharmony among the breakaway clubs. And then it wasn't really until later on in the day that the talk started to heat up that it could be Chelsea or Manchester City. I was encouraged when Pep Guardiola spoke out against the idea of the preposterous Super League, and also when Marcus Rashford tweeted, and I just sense a growing feeling that this isn't going to go away, that the people who organised it wanted it to blow over, that they knew there'd be a bit of blowback, but it was gathering momentum. And when Boris Johnson, who I didn't know had any interest whatsoever in football, said that we need to change legislation and implement legislation now, with a group of Manchester United fans who we met this morning, albeit over Zoom, I thought that the mood is so strong, the groundswell is so strong, that it's becoming difficult to ignore. And then when 1,000 Chelsea fans turned up on Fulham Broadway outside Stamford Bridge, I was encouraged by that. I was encouraged by the unity among supporters across all clubs. I spoke to people from Liverpool today, and our feelings were very, very similar. Nobody wanted this Super League. The timing was terrible. It was ill-conceived. And any good that might have been in it was just completely lost with the perceived arrogance that the club had for their own fans by not communicating anything, by the news dropping. Admittedly, it was leaked an hour before Manchester United's game against Burnley. The manager left to hang out to dry and talk about a subject that he knew nothing about, because he'd only been told 20 minutes before kickoff. And I'm pleased this evening that it's all falling apart. It's an iceberg carving itself up, and it's great to see, because the greed should never have happened. And sometimes greed does succeed in football. Often it does, but not in this case.
The Glazers and Manchester United very much billed as one of the leading lights in this whole venture. There's no sense that they were wavering, especially, or freaked out by the frenzied reaction.
I've not been told of any sense of that. And if anything, they've got experience in frenzied reaction, because they rode out the sustained storm in 2005 when they took over Manchester United. And in 2010, when there were the green and gold protests, appeared to pay scant regard to that as well. But clearly, it is ruffling feathers. Ed Woodward is going to depart after 7 years as United's leading suit. I mean, he wears a suit, but he doesn't wear the trousers. Joel Glazer wears the trousers, and he's the man on a day-to-day overseeing things from Florida or from Washington, D.C. And both have become deeply unpopular with Manchester United fans. I remember interviewing Ed Woodward a couple of years ago, and I do exactly the same with, you know, with the guy who follows him, and I ask tough questions, and there was fury. You know, why on earth are you even speaking to him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Just interview people who you like.
Man United have made the point that he was set to leave at the end of the year anyway. They've just brought this forward, but, you know, there's no great issue here. I mean, it does look like the Glazers have said, well, Ed, you did a lot of the legwork on this, so it's fallen apart at the seams. It's an embarrassment. Away you go. Is that your read?
Yeah. He's lived on the sword and he's died on the sword, because that's how I read it. I mean, that it comes out tonight within minutes of other clubs pulling out of what is looking like a failing project. It's not coincidental, is it?
I wouldn't think so. And maybe the Glazers, if they care about public relations, I'm not sure they do, but if they did, I mean, I'm sure they could wangle this a certain way and said, well, Ed told us this was the right way to go, and that, you know, we just went along with what he said was good advice and the right thing to do for the club, etc., etc. He hoodwinked us as much as everyone. I mean, nobody will buy it, but they might say, well, look, it's an easy sacrificial lamb. And as you said, no Manchester United fans are weeping over Woodward's departure. So they may go that route, the Glazers.
They might do, and there are a lot of good people at Manchester United who've done really well during the lockdown, and they were horrified at these proposals, as were employees of other football clubs, but they couldn't come out and say it publicly because they'd lose their jobs. And players were concerned as well, and communication has actually improved a lot between Manchester United and the fans, and you see things like the section in the Stretford End where the fans have got autonomy. Ticket prices have been much, much better than in the 5 years when the Glazers took over. Refunds given for European away trips, which didn't happen, free trips to Astana in Kazakhstan. All of this sort of stuff would have been unheard of when I started United We Stand 30 years ago. So there's definitely been some progress, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend for 1 minute that the Glazers are loved at all. The issue of their takeover is, it still invokes anger, as it did 16 years ago in May 2005 when they took over. And they can point and say commercially we've been very successful, and they have done, but that highly leveraged takeover should never have been allowed to have happened. And I'm not convinced by that ownership model, nor by the ownership model of several other clubs. And I think if anything can come from this, it can be a look at the governance within football. I was quite surprised when Boris Johnson came out this morning and talked about bringing legislation through. Maybe he was being populist.
Yeah,
but
come on.
I mean, I wouldn't expect it of this government, which is renowned for its cronyism for a start.
Boris,
but it would certainly be popular.
Vote winner. Let's nail down those Labour seats and keep them for good. You know what I mean? So, look, you raised a very interesting point there. And it comes down to the ownership at all of these clubs. Now, it is a different situation at Liverpool, where Henry, I was about to say is popular, but certainly was popular. But Henry to the rescue, took the club away from horrible Hicks and Gillette, and brings in Klopp, and look where they are now. And so it's a betrayal. This is a betrayal of the Liverpool fans. That's their relationship with their owner. Manchester United fans, I would put it to you, this is a confirmation of everything they have ever known about the Glazers. This is a confirmation of everything they've ever suspected about the Glazers. Now, the green and gold protest was serious, and you will remember it. You were in the stadiums. It was a rocky enough time. They weathered it out. And I think most United fans, look, you know, Ferguson said they were okay and got the training ground and success continued. And look, they are taking lots of money, but they've generated lots of money. Let's just, you know, not make our lives a misery here and get on with things. And it had kind of died down, is I think where we were. I'm sure, you know, in your conversations with your mates, you were all still saying, don't like it, but we are where we are. What's been very interesting this past 48 hours is this now has reopened the Glazer situation. It has re-energized fans, I would suspect. And you take Gary Neville last night. I mean, he decimated them. He called them scavengers. He said they need booting out of the club, booting out of the country. talked about how he felt complicit in not speaking up, talked about the lack of paint at Old Trafford. I'm not sure he can go back to talking about their back four next week. United, of all the ownership situations now, this is the tinderbox.
I spoke to Gary several times yesterday before he went on television, and I've written more than anybody about the state of Old Trafford.
Yeah.
And I mean the physical state of Old Trafford, to the point that people have said, why are you writing this? We need a new centre forward. And I'm saying, no, it's really important that the development of this stadium continues. I'm not saying that now in COVID times. I'm on about pre-COVID times. You used the word there, confirmation of what the Glazers are about. It absolutely is in the eyes of many. And yes, commercially, they've been extremely astute. And yes, wins and trophies do sate fans. Fans are extremely loyal, but they're also fickle. And after the takeover in 2005, I saw people who sang, not for sale, I'm going to give up my season ticket. They didn't. They went back. The stadium was full for every single game. And I think the owners who buy into these clubs know that fans are addicted.
Yeah.
And 4,000 fans did go and form FC United, and they're still going now, and they've got a great ground in North Manchester. And the political schism which it caused, on a sort of grassroots level, it still felt now. I mean, I lost a lot of my writers to United We Stand. Friendships ended in 2005.
Did you think about going with them?
My brother was the first player to join FC United, and he dropped down five divisions to play for them. And some of my best friends formed FC United. And when they were forming, the people forming it didn't know that much about non-league football. Now, all my family have played semi-professional football, so... I was getting some of the phone calls. My brother actually put the first manager in. I can remember where I was when we took that call, and when he said, this is the man you should get to do it. And that man, Carl Margenson, was manager for 11 years. Some of my best friends went to FC and are still part of FC, and I wish them well. And I gave them a page in United We Stand. I carried on going to Manchester United, carried on going to all the home and away games. I saw extremes on both sides. And this civil war developed where, even though I tried to be fair and give them a page in United We Stand, on one hand I had people saying to me, it should be four pages. And on the other I said, why are you even acknowledging their existence?
Right.
And it took years to die down. And you saw these arguments being played out largely online, but also in real life. And everybody thought that they were right. And there was very little give. There was a lot of entrenched positions, and it was heartbreaking. And the Glazers caused that.
Yeah.
You know, people who were best friends didn't speak to each other after that day in May 2005. And I went to FC. I went a lot when my brother played. I went there with my dad. My dad really enjoyed it. And I've been pretty much every season since, but nowhere near as much as I've gone to Manchester United. But let's be honest about myself. It's also my job, Manchester United.
Sure.
You know, this morning, somebody said to me, if this Super League does go through, would you continue to report on it? And I probably would. It's my job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a football writer. And if I turn around to my wife and say, you know, I'm not going to go to Madrid next week to cover Real Madrid against Chelsea. Why?
Well, exactly. Do you think Neville and others are of a mind now to really try and lead this charge against the Glazers, make it uncomfortable for them, or will this dissolve away over the next couple of days into weeks?
It's a good question, because fan protest tends to dissolve away, and that's my worry with these things. There's always new events happening. There's always games to take people's minds off things. I think Gary's definitely emboldened. He's been pushing behind the scenes for football to have an independent regulator, and putting his money where his mouth is as well. You know, he doesn't always get a good press, Gary, even from Manchester United fans, but I know loads of things he's done behind the scenes where he's put his own money into things to help out fan causes. And on Sunday night, I found myself defending him in a WhatsApp group. You know, this is how these communications go on now, where friends of mine were saying, I'm not buying into him. He's interested in Salford City. Where was he in 2005? And I said this to him yesterday. And it was quite funny watching him say it on television last night.
Yeah,
but I'm also glad that he did say that, and that he was contrite and felt he'd been partly complicit because no players came out in 2005. Mm. I think he's had major, well, I don't think I know because I speak to him, he's had major concerns about the ownership at Manchester United for a long time. For a time, I wondered whether him and some of the lads he'd played with were going to get more involved.
Well, I still think
the
class of 92...
Paul Scholes was helping out.
The class of 92, sorry, there's a delay in the line there, which is make this messy now. I definitely have a sense the class of 92 have that, or some of them, long term to get hold of that club.
Yeah, what they don't have is the finances to do so, because looking at the stock market valuation, and I've spoke to people who've got way more power even than Gary Neville, serious people even today, and they say that the Glazers would want, you know, 4 billion. It's a lot of money. It's a huge amount of money when you consider how little they paid for it in that highly leveraged buyout. Yeah. And what they do, it remains a cash cow for them. They can still take dividends. They're considerable to the man in the street, but they're actually quite small by corporate standards. And that's one reason why they wanted to push for this Super League, because they feel that they own this global asset, which doesn't actually make that much money. Yeah. And I'm glad that it's not going to happen. And I hope that they reconsider their role at Manchester United and realise that that they're not popular. They'll probably never be popular. But I don't know what the plan B is. You know, people last year were talking about an owner from Saudi. I'm not convinced by that model, by an oligarch or by state interference. For a long time, I thought that the Barca model was the best model. But I've seen that extremely closely, and I have my doubts about that, because unfortunately, it involves human beings and egos and the shifting plates of politics. And at times, it's been far, far worse than at Manchester United. At least the Manchester United model has been relatively stable.
Andy, listen, thanks so much for coming on. I'm sure it's a very busy evening for you. Much appreciated.
Nice to talk to you.
Cheers. Andy Mitten there, editor of United We Stand. We have Philippe Auclair coming up later on. Up next, Dominic Fifield covers the London clubs for The Athletic. Spurs and Arsenal, we're coming for you next. Spurs and Arsenal, I mean, no word from them yet. Maybe they're hanging on. That will be the European Super League final 2022. We'll talk to Dominic next.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.